Open up to the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter number 3. It's the same book we were in last Sunday morning, so you do know it's in the Bible. It's one of the minor prophets. Go to the book of Matthew and then just start backtracking a little bit and you'll get there. Habakkuk chapter number 3. Habakkuk chapter number 3. This Sunday morning before Thanksgiving, we always try to do something that talks a little bit about being grateful or thankful. And the Lord's been working and speaking to my heart about the different things that stops us from being thankful and different things that stops us from being grateful. And this past Tuesday, we looked at our senior luncheon. We looked at 10 different reasons that robs her joy and stops her joy. And it's amazing to think about what is it that causes us not to be thankful. You think about what the Thanksgiving is remembrance of. You think about the pilgrims. You think about the many setbacks they had. It's been told that they made 7 times more graves than huts. Can you believe that? They made 7 times more graves than huts. All the different setbacks that they had, but they still set a day aside to give thanks. They still set a day aside to give thanks. And we remember the story that we looked about last week. We do have so much to be thankful. In the book of Habakkuk, to just give you a quick rundown of last week, chapter number 1, he goes and he is a prophet of God and he is complaining to God. He is saying, God, why are you allowing all this wickedness and all this evil around us and you're not doing anything about it? He's asking God, will you please do something? Will you please judge the evil? Will you please judge the wickedness? And God responds to him, and God answers him, and God tells him, I am going to respond. I am going to judge. He says, I'm going to bring the Babylonians. The Babylonians will come into your nation and will destroy your nation, will take many people back captive and as slaves, and will destroy everything that you love. And we put Habakkuk in this spot. Habakkuk is the person here. He is getting ready to know that his nation is going to be destroyed, that his nation's everything he loves, the temple, everything's going to be demolished, burned up. And God tells him, that's what's going to happen. You know what Habakkuk responds? He says, God, you can't do it that way. He begins to question God and says, God, how can you let a nation more wicked than us, the Babylonians, judge us because of our sin? And he has this problem with God. And what he does, he takes that secret problem to the secret place. He goes and stands before God, what we looked at in Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1 last week. And we saw how he went before God and he was just going to wait until God gave him the answer. And God gave him the answer in verse number 4, chapter number 2. He says, the just shall walk or shall live by his faith. He says, Habakkuk, I know you do not understand everything that's going on. And in verse number 3, chapter number 2, he says, I got it all under control. The vision is for yet an appointed time. In just a little while, you're going to see that I have everything in control, but I want you to do one thing. He says, I want you to walk by faith. And then he begins to describe in chapter number 2 what he's going to do to the Babylonians, how he is someday going to judge the Babylonians too. Chapter number 3, everything changes. He went from being a prophet that was moaning, complaining, to a prophet that was being joyful. He went from having a burden to being a blessing. He went from being a person in a place of pain and problems to a person that is praising and praying. And here in Habakkuk chapter number 3, I want you to start off, we're going to start off in verse number 17, and Habakkuk begins to describe all the bad things that could happen because of this nation of Babylon coming and destroying his nation. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places, to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. That chief phrase I want you to look at, the thing I want you to focus on, is the phrase that's found behind me on the screen in verse number 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Verse number 17, he begins to describe all the bad things that he thought could happen because of what's going to happen to his nation. And you might say, well, Pastor, what's the big deal? The fig's not going to blossom. The fruit's not going to be on the vines. You know, they could still just go down to the Walmart and get everything they need. No, that's not the way things are working back here. This was their livelihood source. This was their source of living. if they did not have this, they would not be able to live. They would not be able to stay alive. And here, he describes all the bad things that could happen. But in verse number 18, he comes to the spot and he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." I don't know a better statement for Christians today. That despite everything that's going on in this world, and once again, he's getting ready to face his nation to be destroyed. His temple's going to be gone. His family's going to be taken captive. He's going to be torn apart. Many people are. And he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord." So how can a person rejoice despite all the horrible circumstances? It's because he knew and understood God. He knew God. He understood God. And I believe the number one reason why people do not be great or not grateful or do not give thanks like they should is because they do not know or they do not understand or appreciate God. Either they don't know him personally as their Savior and they cannot have the joy of Christ living in them, do not have the Holy Spirit of God able to help them through these circumstances, or as a Christian, they do not understand and appreciate who God is. Because the more you know God, the more you understand God, the more you will rejoice in him, the more you will joy in the God of your salvation. Psalms chapter 68, verse number 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." Now listen to that verse again. I don't know about you, but this imagery in it is just outstanding. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily," what does that mean? It means every day, right? Every day, "daily loadeth us with benefits." Say, "Pastor, that's not what's happening to me. I don't see any benefits. I don't see anything good going on in my life." Well, to be honest with you, if we know and understand God, we will see the benefits he gives us. You know, he has given us so much, and we have so much to be thankful for and so much to be grateful for. And the reason why I like this phrase and the reason why I like this verse is because it shows us that we can have victory. In your Christian life, if you live by faith, like we learned about last week, what God wanted Habakkuk to do, he says, "I just want you to step out and live according to the way I've told you to." He says, "I don't need you to figure out who should come punish Israel. I don't need you to tell me what should happen to the nation of Babylon. I don't need your help with any of this. The vision is for yet an appointed time. It will not tarry." He says, "Wait for it." He says, "God's calendar, God will take care of all the details whenever he chooses to. All I want you to do is live by faith." Habakkuk got that, and Habakkuk understood that, and Habakkuk began to have a greater understanding of God. And that's why he could come in verse number 17 and say, all these bad things, despite all these bad things that happen, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord," because he understood who God was. He continues, and he talks about how "I will joy in the God of my salvation." Boy, if we're here today and we are saved, boy, we have something to rejoice in. If he is our Savior, we can always rejoice in the Lord. Yet, whatever happens to us in this world, whatever happens to us in this world, we can say, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord," because he is the God of our salvation. Verse number 19 says, "The Lord God is my strength." Now, what that's saying there is when we get to the spot and time in our life where we realize we can't do things on our own, it doesn't say God gives us strength. It actually says that God becomes our strength. So when we realize that we are poor in spirit and that we cannot accomplish anything in our own and that God becomes our strength, then we will learn to rejoice in the Lord. And there's three simple things this morning. Three different things I want us to think about how we can rejoice in the Lord. And I know there is a ton of things that we could put on this list. And I know there is a ton of things. I know yesterday I was going through and just writing out different things I was thankful for about the Lord. And the list was long. And I was just praising him and rejoicing in him because of the fact that he is so good to us. And he does daily load us with benefits. But this morning I like to look at three simple things that we can understand and reason why we should rejoice in the Lord. First thing. The reason why Habakkuk could rejoice in the Lord and the reason why we can rejoice in the Lord is because he is able. He is able. No matter what you think, God is able to help you. God has the power and ability to do any and all things. He is able to save you. If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure if you would die today, that that when you die today, that you would go to heaven? Or if you would die today, that you would go to heaven? The Bible teaches us that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and He is able to save you from a horrible place called hell. He is able to save you from your sins. If you are willing to put your faith and trust in Him and repent of your sins, He will save you today. He is able. And the reason why Habakkuk rejoiced in the Lord, he rejoiced in the Lord because God is able. He is able to do anything. You can't put a measuring stick on God. You can't turn around and say, God, this is all you can do. God is able to do anything. As the verse says up there, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now, think about that. What the verse is saying there, that you cannot even imagine something that God is not able to do. You cannot even imagine something that God is not able to do. God is able to do all things. He is able. You think about it. If you have a financial need, He is able. If you have a need of forgiveness, He is able. If you have a need of comfort, He is able. If you have a need for strength, He is able. If you have a need for a song, He is able. If you have a need for joy, He is able. And we can rejoice in the Lord. Whatever need we have, He is able to meet that need. And that's the reason why we can rejoice. It's because He is able to meet that need. Habakkuk could get to the spot and he saw what God was doing. He was up on his watchtower. God says, I'm bringing the Babylonians down. And you know what? He understood that God was able to bring the Babylonians down. He was able to save the Israelites if he chose to. He was able to destroy the Babylonians. That he was able to do anything. And this is where we need to get at in our lives. Sometimes we get in crisis mode. Sometimes things are not going the way that we think they should, or sometimes we just don't understand what God's doing and how God is working, and we begin to question God, we begin to doubt God, but we can rejoice in something. We can rejoice in the fact that God is able to do anything. And you say, Pastor, I'm sick. God hasn't healed me. It's not because He's not able. It's because He might be trying to teach you something or show you something or allowing you to have that sickness for God's glory. And we can rejoice in the fact that He is able to do it. He was able to spare the Israelites. And in chapter number 3, at the beginning, it talks about how he asked God. He says that God asked him for revival. He asked him to remember mercy. And then he begins to describe all the good things that God had done for the Israelites. He doesn't use their names specifically, but he talks about the time of Abraham and a time of Moses and a time of Joshua. He is remembering the fact that God was able to part the Red Sea and that God was able to break down the walls of Jericho and how God was able to make this great nation from just one man. And he came to the spot and he realized, I know God is able. And this morning, we can rejoice in something. This Thanksgiving season, despite what might be going on in our lives, we know God is able to do all things, no matter what's going on. He is able. We can rejoice in that. We can find joy. You say, Pastor, you keep on using this word rejoice. Well, the word joy, rejoice means to feel or show great joy or delight. We can show great joy and delight in God. Now, we don't have to show great joy and great delight when in our circumstances. We can find joy in our circumstances. If there's a tragedy going on, we can find joy in the midst of it. But what are we joying in? We are joying in the fact that God is able to do all things. He can fix your situation today. Sometimes He chooses not to. But we can rejoice in the fact that He's able to. Praise the Lord that God is able. There was an awful crisis going on in Habakkuk's land. He was under a tremendous burden, but he moved that crisis to Christ. He moved that burden to a blessing. He took the journey from all his problems and brought them to Jesus Christ and said, you know what? Christ is able, God is able to deal with this, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Him. This Thanksgiving season, God is able. He is able to do abundantly, exceeding abundantly, all that above all that we ask or think. You can't think of something that God cannot do. That's what he's saying by that verse. He is that great of a God. And we can rejoice in that. We can praise him for that. Second thing, not only because he is able, it's because he is available. Not only because he is able, it's because he is available. Now picture this. Your son or daughter is sick. and they're getting ready to die. They only have maybe hours or days to live. And there is a surgery or there's a medicine that can help them, but you can't get to it. It's just not available. That medicine is not available. Boy, wouldn't that be tragic? And then that would be the same tragic story about God, is the fact he is able to do all these things, but he wouldn't be available to us. But we can rejoice in the fact that God is available to us. He is available. You know, he when Habakkuk prayed, Habakkuk wanted to tell God how to do things. Have you ever been there? God, why don't you judge us? What's going on down here? God, why don't you fix this problem? God, I have a need here. Don't you see this, God? You know, God, where are you at? And that's what Habakkuk's saying. And God says, I see what's going on. I'm going to take care of you. But God, I don't like the way you're doing it. He says, well, I want you to walk by faith. He said, I got a plan. I got something scheduled. I got something that's going on, and I'm teaching people something. And but God was available. The great part of that all is Habakkuk might not like the answer, but God answered Habakkuk. The God of the universe loved him so much and cared so much about him. He didn't say and go, it's just some little prophet, some little creature of mine that I made. He push him off to the side. He answers Habakkuk. You know, God is not teasing us when he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is a God that is able, but he is also available. He is willing and able to give you rest. And he wasn't joking with us when he said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He is available to us. And it's talked about in this idea of salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is able to you, but he is able to do the things that you need him to do, but he's also available. He is also available. You ever gotten frustrated because you try calling somebody and they're not available? I don't know about you. When I call somebody, as an individual, I can leave a message, but I just hate getting put on hold. You get there and you want to talk to somebody. It's usually something you've paid for anyway, and you want to ask some questions about it, and you're sitting there and you're waiting a whole. Number one, the music's usually annoying, but if the music's not usually annoying, they're running some type of ad, and you're sitting there and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting, and the operator's not available. The operator's not available. The operator's not available. The great thing is God is available, and he is available to you today. He is as close to you as a prayer. He is as close to you. As your breath is to your body. As close to you as your hand is to you. He is available to you. Were you ever in a tragic need that you needed God? He was there for you. Did you ever have an emergency when you needed him? He was there. Were you ever frightened? You ever had somebody, a noise downstairs and something's down there, and you go to reach for your gun or your baseball bat and you're frightened, you're crying out to God, God, please help me. Thankfully, you're not getting a business single. God is available to you. Why don't we take advantage of him? Why don't we use the availability that God gives us? Why don't we pray? But this is something we can rejoice in. We can rejoice in the fact that God is able to do all things exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but he is available to us for our needs. He is there for you. I love the story of blind Bartimaeus. I know we've talked about him before. I probably taught it in junior church. I think I taught it in the senior luncheon. I know I preached about it here on a Sunday night. Blind Bartimaeus, the story is found in Matthew chapter number 20. It talks about how Jesus was walking. He was coming to Jericho, and he is surrounded by people. He is thronged. That means that he's got people all around him. And he got this blind man that's there, and he's sitting by the wayside, and he starts yelling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He starts crying out for Jesus, and he begins crying out for Jesus. And the Bible says that the people that were with him said, Bartimaeus, be quiet. The master doesn't have time for you. Told him to shut up for the most part. God is not available to you. He's got more important things to do. He's got more important people to see. He's got bigger jobs to handle, bigger things to do. And you know what? When Jesus heard Bartimaeus, the Bible says that he stood still. And he said, Jesus stood still and called him and said, what will ye that I shall do? He stood still for Bartimaeus. Now, you say, well, how could Jesus hear him over all the noise that was going on? He's God. He can hear anybody. He can do anything. Remember the first point? He's able. But also, you remember Bartimaeus sitting there on the side of the road crying out to God. He's probably been cast out of the temple. He's already probably not able to serve, not able to worship God like the other Jews. And he's sitting there on the side of the road crying out and saying, God, I need your help. God, have mercy on me. And everybody's saying, Bartimaeus, nobody cares about you. Nobody likes you. You're a burden to society. And there's no way God wants to help you. But God himself stands still. He is available to you today. Now, if he is available for Bartimaeus, is he not available for us? I don't know what your need is. I don't know what your problem is today. I don't know the reason why you've lost sight of God and the reason why maybe you aren't thankful and grateful the way you could be. But we need to remember that whatever your need is, God is able. He is more than able to take care of the problem. You say, well, God, why doesn't God do it? Because we learned that last week. Because he's asking us to walk by faith. He's not asking us to tell God how to do things. He's saying, look, I got a plan for your life. I got an appointment for you to do and take care of. I got something special for you. Walk by faith. Remember, he is able. But praise the Lord, he is available to us. He is available to us. I don't know about you, but that is a reason to rejoice. And I know you can pile a whole lot of things in that you're thankful for in the fact he's able. And then you can pile a whole lot of things while you're happy and thankful for because he's available. But last but not least, not only because he's able and available, it's because he's always the same. He's always the same. The Lord Jesus never changes. He will meet your need, and he'll be there right on time. Say, Pastor, there you go, you're wrong. I've asked him to meet my need before, and he's not been there. See, God is never late. Amen. Sometimes we're a little too early, but God is never late. Sometimes we want something done, and we don't understand why God won't do it, but God never messes up. God is able, God is available, and he is always the same. All through my life, he's been available. All through my life, he's been able to do those things. Yes, there has been times when I say, Lord, how could this happen? Lord, why me? But we must learn that there's difficulties in the times that we live in. The Bible says in Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is full of a few days and full of trouble. But God himself is always near to help us through that trouble. He is always the same. Look what his verses say. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that wonderful? He's always the same. You know, when he helped you a year ago, when you saw him meet that need, you saw him, you depended upon him, you trusted in him, he met it and you praised him for that. He's still that same God today when he chooses to tell you to wait, when he chooses to tell you no. You can rejoice in the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord. No matter what's going on. That brings you back to that title of the message. Is, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Imagine what's going on in your heart and life and say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. That's the key. So when we get passive walking and keeping our eyes focused on circumstances, we begin to push our eyes up to the God that is able. Say, God, you know I'm in this situation. You know I have this problem with this family member. You know I have this problem financially. You know I have this problem with stress. But God, I know you're able. I don't know why you're not fixing it. Sure, it'd be nice if you would fix it. But God, my eyes are focused on the one that's able. And I sure am glad you're available. I am sure glad that you're available to help me. I remember all those times in the past you've seen me through, you've walked me through this, and I know that I can rejoice in the fact that you're never going to change. When I was going through my list of things that I was thankful for and things I could rejoice in the Lord for, is that I could give people and tell those people the story and the message of Jesus Christ. Because he's never going to change. You know, we might have favorite stars or actors or sports players or, you know, different people we look up to, authors, things like that. You know, sometimes they change. And unfortunately, preachers change sometimes. Fortunately, singers change sometimes. But I can always introduce someone to Jesus Christ. And I can rejoice in the fact that I know he's never, ever, ever going to change. Say, Pastor, maybe I'm not that strong. Look what it says here in verse number 19. It says, the Lord God is my strength. It doesn't say that he gives me strength. He says he is my strength. The idea here is, it might sound odd. It's not the only spot you find in the Bible in Exodus. When Moses was praising the Lord about them drowning those guys in the Red Sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Psalms, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Isaiah says, Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation. What the Bible is saying there, what Habakkuk is saying is, God has become my strength. Before, my strength was placed on what I thought was right and what I thought God could do and what I thought God should do. But when I have been opened, my eyes have been opened by God, and he has shown me that he has a plan and he has a purpose, I realize it's not in my own power, it's not in my own strength, it's not in my own abilities. It is when I become weak that God can become my strength. Say, Pastor, I don't know how to yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I don't know how to do that. It's when we take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances, place them on the author and finisher of our faith. That's when we can rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I can always be thankful I'm saved. I can be always thankful I got a home in heaven. I can be always thankful that, as we heard this morning, that God loves us. I can always be thankful, as the choir sang, that God is faithful. But when will we rejoice and learn how to rejoice in the Lord despite the hard times? Is when we see that Jesus Christ is able to take care of our need, but sometimes he chooses to allow us to go through it. He's able. And he's not like he's somebody that's not available. He is still available to us. And if he knows all things and he is capable of all things and he is allowing us to go through this and he loves us, I can rejoice. I can rejoice in spite of sickness. I can rejoice even when it gets harder, when my loved ones are sick. I can even rejoice when someone turns their back on me when I wasn't expecting it. I'm not rejoicing in the situation itself. I'm rejoicing in my Lord. I'm finding grace in knowing that God is capable and able to do all things, exceedingly abundant above all that I can even ask and think. And he is available to me. He is nearer to you than the person sitting next to you. One thought, prayer away. And he is not going to change. We read through these stories and we see stories how God helped Habakkuk here. He went from that place of a burden to a blessing. He's the same God. You go through the stories and you see what happened with David and Goliath. He's the same God. The stories with Daniel and the lion's den. He's still the same God. He is able. He is available. He is always the same. Now, this morning, if you're here and you can't say, yet I rejoice in the Lord, let me encourage you, get to know God better. The number one thing, as I said, the reason why people are unthankful is because they don't know God. And why do people not know God? It's because they do not develop their relationship with God. They don't read their Bible like they should. They don't pray like they should. They don't do the things that they need to encourage and build this relationship. Habakkuk had to learn what God was thinking and what God was planning. And in the end, he became a man that praised God. This Thanksgiving season, I don't know how difficult things are at your house. I don't. You don't know what things are going on in my heart and my life. But I do know that I can rejoice in the Lord. Let's look at verse 17 one last time. Chapter number 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. I think what they're saying, what Habakkuk is saying here is, all the things that could go wrong, go wrong. And then you see that next phrase, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Are you rejoicing in the Lord today? You can be, but the just have got to live by their faith. Let's go ahead and pray. With heads bowed and eyes